to Luke 13 and Matthew 23. If you need a Bible, there's ones on the back table there. But I'm going to take us back to Tuesday. You remember what we were talking about on Tuesday? Maybe I can just get Glenn to recap it for us. We had talked about the 70. 70 is the number of fullness, of completion, right? When Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, he took the elders with him. How many did he take? 70. That was a very good answer. And because that represented the nation. It's a picture of the kingdom. And Jesus is establishing the kingdom. First of all, he establishes himself. He sends out the 12. The 12 is his disciples. And they go out and they do great things, didn't they? Heal the sick, raise the dead, etc. So, it's interesting that he sent out the 12. How many of you remember that? We didn't talk about it on Sunday, but how many of you remember he sent out the 12 before he sent out the 70? Because that means he sent out Judas. And Judas came back with a good report. Now after this, I'm reading from Luke 10 and then we'll get to 13. Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him in every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was sending out, it was the forerunner. Remember we talked about on Tuesday how every dispensation has a taste of it before it comes in. And that was, our example was Matthew 8:17. That which was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying he himself took up our infirmities and carried away our diseases. But Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. But he was fulfilling what the cross was bringing before it actually came in. He was foreshadowing the new covenant or the church age. He was showing it before it came in. And the same thing was happening for instance, when Moses brought in the covenant, the structure and the laws of the covenant came in with Moses. The Abrahamic covenant was before the law, and it was based on faith. Abraham walked by faith, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. And when these things would start to move, you would see them come before as tastes of the next dispensation. Jesus here is giving a taste of the kingdom. Not the nation, which was under the law of sin and death, under the old covenant, but the kingdom. Because the kingdom had people from all nations and all tribes. But there was a foreshadowing of it, and the kingdom is seen in its completion by the fact that there's 70 being sent out and the fact that they're going in pairs. For wherever two or more of you are gathered in my name, there am I in your midst. Well, why do you say that's kingdom? Well, because I read the chapter. That's kind of cheating. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Into his harvest. We're going to see it as his harvest. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. You don't intermingle your speech or your thinking with the world, and you rely for provision on your provider. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. That part of salvation, that part of the kingdom, you shod your feet with the gospel of peace when you go out. The man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him, but if not, it will return to you. Stay in the house. You don't run away just because the kingdom isn't picked up quickly. It's a question of whether they will reject it or not. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you and heal those who in it who are sick. Matthew 8:17 says healing is a calling card of the gospel and of the kingdom. It was fulfilling. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come. That's how I knew he was talking about kingdom. Has come near to you. As the foreshadowing of the kingdom, what does it take to get kingdom established? Well, you must be born again to see it and enter it. He hadn't gone to the cross yet. You can really get born again. You can be a believer and a follower, but not a redeemed yet. But what's interesting here is, and he goes, okay, we'll just read it. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your city which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. Rejecting the kingdom is not a good idea. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. The one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. And the 70 returned. The foreshadowing of the kingdom returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. That was one of the marks of the kingdom. It dealt with demons. It had authority over demons. Before then, they just had the law of sin and death. You don't see a lot of demonic activity in the Old Covenant because they had no way of dealing with it. Now they were going to get authority to deal with it. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Okay? A little picture of the kingdom. And he's saying, when I put you out as the forerunner of the kingdom, you, the 70, have authority and protection. Luke 13, a little later on. Now on the same occasion, okay, you want to know what the occasion was. He was saying to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming, and so it turns out. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say, it will be a hot day, and it turns out that way. You hypocrites, you know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky. Why do you not analyze this present time? There are things always that are moving, developing, maturing. They're in different phases in the spirit realm, in the kingdom realm, in the eternal realm. If you've been faithfully bringing the word in, you'll begin to see results in that area. You know, the kingdom belongs to you wherever your foot can tread, wherever you're walking, not where you're seeing from somewhere else. But you'll see some of those things always in development. Mark put it this way. It's like, Jesus said it in Mark, but he says, the kingdom is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And what does he do? He goes to bed and he gets up. But there's a leaf and a stalk. There's always something going on. He doesn't know how. The soil produces the crop by itself. What's happening in your spirit is happening by itself. All you're doing is keeping the seed in there, the word in there. But it's happening. The blade, the stalk, there's always things going on. And he's saying to the people who are the big guys, the Pharisees, that they're hypocrites because they could analyze the weather and they couldn't see anything in the spirit. Why do you not analyze this present time? Why do you not even of your own initiative judge what is right? For while you're going with your opponent to appear before a magistrate, on your way there, make an effort to settle with him so that he may not drag you before the judge and the judge turn you over to the officer and the officer throw you in prison. I say to you, you will not get out of there until you have paid the very last cent. They would sue people for what they weren't supposed to, but they would sue people for money and things like that. Now, they were supposed to have Jubilee. Every so often, they just said, forget about it. Now, on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Is that on? Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. Anyway, Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices, and Jesus said to them, do you suppose those Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now that's funny. Three chapters before, he said to the forerunners of the kingdom, nothing will hurt you. He's contrasting kingdom to non-kingdom. But he's calling on them to have some discernment in the kingdom area. Analyze the time you're in. Analyze where these things are. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus is saying something interesting. You die outside the kingdom, but when the kingdom of God comes near to you, you come into the name of the Lord. You come into the strong tower. You come into protection. Ephesians 2. We'll stop with Ephesians 2 because fellowship's more important. Now, you remember Ephesians 1, he's praising the Ephesians for being a very well-founded church. I heard about the faith and the love and the Holy Spirit sealing you. I'm praying for you to get revelation, not to get correction, but to get revelation of the power. To get revelation in knowledge of the Lord. And how the Lord came and put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Chapter 2. Ephesians. I'm going to read this so that you have an idea of how you should be thankful. Not just thankful for the kingdom, but thankful for the other kingdom that you're not in anymore. And to have some understanding of it. So then he says to them, after he's telling them, you guys are great, and I'm praying that spiritual areas and realms will open to you, and you will understand that all things are in subjection under his feet, and he is the head over all things to the church, which is his body. And you, Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. He's giving us a picture of the other kingdom, of the world. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, that's just your natural condition, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Now, does that help you understand why Jesus was saying in Luke 13, but you all likewise perish? You all likewise perish. You think some people are bad and some people are good. You want to know if I'm going to pick out the winners and the losers. You think that this kingdom is based on somehow your merit or your works. But actually, I'm the king, and the kingdom's based on knowing me. My body, which is the church. Even as the rest, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. The works we are to walk in, the salvation we receive. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at the time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity which is the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by having put to death the enmity. The kingdom that you enter replaces the old covenant and the old law. And it brings in the Jew and the Gentile. And it brings them into Luke 10. And gets them out of Luke 13. Gets you to where you can expect all things, believe all things, hope all things, receive all things. You are to remember it and be grateful. You are to be thankful what you have. And you are to walk in them, as it says in verse 10. Walk in them. Let's pray for Linton. He couldn't come and play the piano. He's not feeling good today.